Hi, how you doing? Good to see you. Hey, oh man, this Trump guy, you know, he's got a job that I didn't really expect he would have, but he's got a job like this. He's president of the United States. What? Did he interview? In a way, yes. In a way, no. He's such a hypocrite. That's my problem with him, personality-wise. Well, there's a lot of problems personality-wise, but he's just a hypocrite. He spent a lot of time putting Obama down during the presidential campaign, if you recall. And one of the big put-downs was the fact that President Obama loved to play golf. Every once in a while, he'd take a little time off, do a little golf weekend somewhere. And Trump made such a big deal about this. Can you believe this guy plays so much golf? I would never play that much golf. And now he's president and he's playing golf every single weekend and spending almost every weekend out of the White House at his Florida estate with the gold-laden coffee cups and things like that, you know, and his big thrones and things like that because he is the king. How dare Trump? And he also said, when I become president, I won't tweet anymore. The tweeting will be gone. I'm going to be very presidential. The guy is just, he lied to you. Let's listen to some of Trump's golf put-downs on Obama and compare it to what Trump actually does now as president.
Obama, it was reported today, played 250 rounds of golf.
Everything's executive order because he doesn't have enough time because he's playing so much golf.
Obama ought to get off the golf course and get down there.
I'm going to be working for you. I'm not going to have time to go play golf.
He played more golf last year than Tiger Woods.
This guy plays more golf than people on the PGA Tour.
I love golf. I think it's one of the greats, but I don't have time.
But if I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again.
But I'm not going to be playing much golf, believe me. If I win this, I'm not going to be playing much golf.
Excuse me? Those clips, by the way, came to us courtesy of CNN. Donald, may I call you, you're a little hypocritical. You're a lot hypocritical. As a matter of fact, I don't think you were sworn in as president. I think you just took the Hippocratic Oath.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Get a bit... you serious?
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much. Welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. That is absolutely true. That is a truism. How are you? Are you cold? Are you cold? The weather forecast for the upper part of the United States is freaking cold. I discussed it a little bit yesterday, but I'm going to get into it now because the forecast has come out for New Year's Eve. What people do on New Year's Eve is they usually go out. They go to a party, they go to a restaurant, they listen to some music, they go home, they get drunk, and they fall asleep. And that's yay, yay, yay. And I'll talk about New Year's Eve probably on tomorrow's show or something like that because it's just such a bizarre holiday. It's just, It's a holiday created to drink. It's very, very odd. In any event, the forecast for New Year's Eve has just been released. There is a cold snap coming down from Canada. By the way, why does anybody live in Canada if that's where all the cold comes from? You know what I'm saying? At a point, you got to say to yourself, well, wait a minute now. I'm living in a place that actually is the origin of cold. Whoa. Okay, then. You know, they actually have an underground city under Montreal and Toronto. Yeah, because people are too, they know that they're the origin of cold. I ain't going out. I may live here, but I ain't going outside. It's weird. Here's the forecast. New York City, this is where people stand outside to watch a freaking ball drop. Doesn't even drop, it just kind of lowers itself. Millions of people stand in Times Square, defiant of any terrorism threats, and they stand out there in the cold. There was a time where that was all there was to do. Now they have some musical entertainment. You can't see the musical entertainment because there's millions of people there, but you can hear it. Basically, you could just hire a DJ and get away with it, but you stand there, and you watch the ball being lowered, and then you go, okay, that was fun, let's go home. And it's a very strange thing, but people do it from all over the world. They go to Times Square in New York for this. It's an odd pagan ritual. What do you do when you go to Times Square? I don't know how to explain this, but we just stand there. What? Yeah, we just stand there. What? And what's the culmination of you just standing there? This like ball gets lowered downward and. That's about it. What? What are you, crazy? I guess so. To get into the Times Square area, you actually, you don't show up at 11:30. You can't get close to the place at 11:30. You got to show up like at 5, 6 o'clock in the evening. Some people get there around 11 o'clock in the morning, 12 noon, to camp out to make sure that they're in the thick of things. They stand there for 12 hours. I can't stand anywhere for 10 minutes without saying, is there a seat? Is there a seat somewhere? Hey, Vazek, I got to sit down. Is there a seat? I've been standing for 10 minutes. Standing for 12 hours? What, are you kidding me? That's like being a flagpole sitter. And I never understood that. That's like a flagpole sitter is like a 5-day colonoscopy. I mean, seriously, what are you doing to your ass? I can't even ride a bicycle anymore, much less sit on a flagpole. I'm serious. I can't ride bicycles anymore. I don't know what happened. I don't know if my ass got bigger or smaller or whatever, but I think bicycle seats got smaller. What's up with that? What crazy, vindictive inventor said, let's make bicycle seats so small that they actually shove up your ass. That's what they did. When I was a kid, the bicycle seats were like very comfortable, wide seats. Very, very comfortable. You could just ride that bike all day and go, the most comfortable seat in the house is on my bicycle. Now, you don't sit on your bicycle, you insert it up your ass. It's just very odd. I don't know why it went in that direction. You would think that luxury would kind of make the seats a little more comfortable for everybody, but no. No seat, just a metal pole up your ass. That's it. Enjoy your ride. So here's these people standing in Times Square for over 12 hours for absolutely nothing. I don't get it. Well, here's the forecast for Times Square on New Year's Eve. 12 degrees. 12. 12. I can actually count that high. That's how cold it is. It's just 12. Now, those of you that go to a first night in Boston, where they have activities all over the Common. That's their Central Park up there in the Boston area. They call it the Common. And there's ice sculptures and entertainment and all kinds of things going on, a lot more than there is in Times Square, because in Times Square there's nothing. So in Boston there's a lot to do. They even have fireworks. Maybe. Here's the forecast for New Year's Eve in Boston at midnight. You ready for the forecast? One, Ron? 1-7? 17? No. One? Yes. I didn't think that was an actual temperature. I thought it was just the start of temperatures. It's going to be one. Cold outside, isn't it, Ron? Yeah. How cold do you think it is? I think it's one. That's it. It's pretty much one. And if it drops just 1 degree, it won't be anything. It'll just be zero. There'll be nothing. It's just, there'll be no degrees involved. Well, how's that possible? I don't know. It's zero. That's what they say. How's that possible? I don't know. It's zero. I don't get it either. And if it gets less than zero, it's actually, we're going to go the other direction. It's going to be minus one. Oh, this is stupid. This is stupid. I know it's stupid. Was there a point in our history where things never went below zero? Because you can't go below zero. And then they started getting colder than zero, and they said, geez, now we got to go in the other direction. Now it's got to be minus. That's how cold it's getting. Wow. Now, it's not just the North. In North Carolina, in the North Carolina area, the Durham, North Carolina area, they're going to be 18 degrees. For North Carolina, that's like Hades. That's like hell just froze over for them. People in North Carolina don't know how cold that is. They put sweaters on when it hits 83. That is so funny. Did you ever go to Florida and meet an elderly person? Well, of course, if you went to Florida, you did. They're walking around with heavy sweaters at 83 degrees.
I can't stand it anymore. I'm freezing. What's the temperature in here, Bob?
It's 83.
Oh, my God. We got to move to Costa Rica or something. This is ridiculous. It's freezing.
Wow. I guess it's just a matter of perception. This is cold stuff. Atlanta is going to be, I believe, 25 degrees or something like that. Don't quote me on that one. That's cold for Atlanta. That's very cold. You don't have to refrigerate anything. Just put it outside. That's odd for Atlanta. So enjoy your Times Square New Year's Eve thing. I'm going to be watching on my TV in my warm, comfortable house, watching all these millions of people freeze their ass off. I don't know. How do you? You're not. You know. Here's the deal. And every meteorologist will tell you this: do not expose your skin to frigid temperatures for more than 5 minutes, otherwise you will get frostbite. Now take millions of people, put them in a downtown New York City wind tunnel, that's what New York City is, by the way, because of all the tall buildings lined up in a row. If you stand in the street, you're in the middle of a wind tunnel. You add that to the actual temperature, and it's freaking cold. I hope the hospitals are ready, because millions of people will be delivered to you with frostbite. Their ears will start falling off. They will have blue lips, all the better to kiss you with. I never went to Times Square New Year's Eve. I was near it. Couldn't get in. Didn't get there early enough. But the temperatures were like maybe 35 degrees or something, which is very comfortable. A temperature of 12? No, I don't think so. Boston, 1 degree? I ain't going out. I ain't going out. I ain't going out. And by the way, your pets and your animals, don't let them out for more than a minute or two. They don't even have coats. Yeah, they've got fur. Some of them have fur. But that's not enough. Yeah, their body temperatures are a little warmer, but No. So just be very careful. That's the bottom line. Just be very, very careful this holiday season with your stupid temperatures and where you live in your stupid house with your stupid friends, your stupid family. I'm kidding. I'm not that bad. You know, a lot of people say, Ron, you know, you don't know what you're doing. You have no idea what you're doing, to the point where you don't even know what you're going to be talking about. Well, that's absurd. I spend hours before I do this show every weekday researching, writing down specifically what I'm going to talk about word by word. I know exactly what I'm going to be doing, okay? All right, we're going to take a commercial break when we come back. What do you want to do? I have nothing. What do you got?
To create each episode of the Ron Van Dam Show, Ron wakes up early, heads into the studio, discusses the important issues of the day, interviews fascinating guests, then finishes his show and gets up and puts on some clothes. Try getting that image out of your head for the rest of the day, suckers! You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Tomorrow is a very, very special program. I can't wait for this. Oh my God, I think it's happening this week. I'm not sure. I think it is. It's a short week. There's only a certain number of days. There's a short number of days because Monday was Christmas. Did you know that? Oh no, you didn't know that. Oh, you missed it. I should have reminded you. With the thousands of interviews I did for Christmas gifts, I don't know how you didn't catch that. Perhaps you weren't paying attention real closely, that every freaking interview I did was somehow related to Christmas and to buying stuff. You didn't catch that, did you? Certainly threw the clues out. Yeah, Monday was Christmas, man. How could you forget that? Yeah, that's why you got no presents. Yeah, that was Monday. Oh, crap. Did you record it? Crap, you missed Christmas. Well, next year. There's always next year. Yeah. So Monday didn't count, see, because it's Christmas. So it wasn't a day of the week. Tuesday was the beginning of the week for most everybody, except you. So this is a short week, you see. It's not all the days are here. It's like a short month, like in February, where there's only 28 days, unless you wake up every 4 years and you go, oh, let's add some more days to it because, I don't know, sounds like fun. Otherwise, it's 28 days, 3 years in a row in February. So those are short months. Well, this was a short week because there was no Monday. There was no Monday. No. Now, Monday, that was like, no, we don't count Monday. So it's just a four-day work week, if that, if even that. Seriously? Seriously? Does anybody work a full day on Friday? No. Does anybody work a full day any Friday? Not really. Yeah, I know you do, but most people don't. But the Friday before Christmas, seriously? No. That's just, you're going to have a party, you're going to eat some cake, and that's about it, a little ginger ale, that's about it, and you go home. Same for the Friday before New Year's, same deal, you know, nobody does. You sit at your desk, and you know what you do at your desk, you know what you do. Yeah, I know what you do, and you know what you do, and I think that's all we have to say, what you do at your desk. So it's a short week, it just doesn't count. There's not 365 days this year. It's 364 because Christmas, you don't count that. You don't count Christmas. You can count New Year's Day because basically New Year's Day, there's nothing to do. Nothing to do. Stupidest holiday ever. It's not religious. You don't go to church. Nothing. It's nothing. New Year's Eve is stupid. You don't do anything. You go out and you drink and then you go to bed. And then the whole next day, New Year's Day, it's of no consequence. There's nothing to, we're not honoring anybody. We're not, it's just a day thrown out there for nothing. I don't get it, but it's true. All right, I've complained enough. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to speak to our guest for today. In the meantime, I don't know if you are holding a party anymore for New Year's or something, but it's a great party idea.
Do you throw boring parties? Do your guests stand about with tepid drinks in their hands, vapidly striving for anything interesting to say to anyone? Do they glance at their watches around 9 p.m. and say, "Oh, look at the time"? Your parties need something, and you know it. Your parties need me, Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. For a gentlemanly, prearranged fee, I will arrive fashionably late to your party, bringing with me that dash of irresistible British charm and a soupçon of the joie de vivre of the French. Soon I'll have your guests regaled with stories of my vacation villa in Saint-Tropez, my zany youthful adventures in boys' school, and that one time I met the prince. Quite a story. For an extra fee, I could be the cheeky one, telling blue jokes and winking roguishly at all the girls. Got a piano? I've got a repertoire. Because what English gent can't just sit down at the ivories and knock out everything from a raucous pub tune to a bit of Gershwin? I know I can. Because I'm Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. And I'll see you at your next party. What time shall I arrive?
I have actually used those services, and the parties were dynamite, man. Thompson St. Thomas is just incredible, man. Incredible, man. This show today is being sponsored by the Fancy Bastard, and tomorrow's show as well. Okay, coming up next week, I've talked about this a little bit, is RonCon. RonCon is a annual convention that we're starting this year, and people from all over the world who listen to the Ron Van Dam show and wish that they could wear my underpants will be attending. It's a convention. There'll be speeches by people that love me. There won't be too long. There won't be too many. All my memorabilia will be there. All the things that I can't remember or pronounce will be on sale at extraordinarily high prices. And the best part that I think everybody loves the most is that everybody dresses up like me. They all look like me. You have to put a beard and a mustache on, and you have to have long hair, and you have to be tall, and you have to be extremely attractive like me. So, it's fun. It's fun. People dress up like me, and there's the Ron version of a nurse, and the Ron version of a zombie, which is a little closer to the actual truth. It's a fascinating convention, and it's being held at major cities across the country and around the world. And we are going to start promoting this. You'll be able to buy some of the items online, because part of the word RonCon means that I will con you into buying things that you don't really need or want or could ever conceive of owning. So it's RonCon, and we'll be running extensive promotions and commercials about it. It will inundate you to the point where all you will do and think about and eat, drink, and sleep is me, and it'll be fantastic. And I guarantee you, by February, you will be wearing my underpants. I guarantee you it's one of the fastest-selling items that I have in my merchandise collection. And anything that I don't sell at the RonCon conventions will be sold on QVC. So all in all, AOL, it's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, we talked about the weather, and the weather outside is frightful. And in here, it's not even that delightful. That's a song. I don't remember. I think it's the birthday song. Is that right? In any event whatsoever, you can still get the flu. Did you get a flu shot? You don't remember, do you? You can still get the flu. And I thought it would be important today because of all the cold stuff going on, because bad weather can really crap on your immune system. And this is a time of year with the holidays where you're shaking people's hands and kissing them and yuck, high-fiving them. You're touching people is what you're doing. And that's where you can pick up a cold and or the flu, because it's transmitted through people. And you know how I feel about them. Let's talk about the flu. Dr. Leonard Freeland joins us. He's VP, Director of Scientific Affairs and Public Health, Vaccines, North America at GSK. And Cerise Murata, who is Chief Operating Officer, Families Fighting Flu. And yeah, I know that the winter brings on the flu. Is it too late to protect ourselves against the flu?
Oh, well, good morning, and thank you for that question. Absolutely not. It is not too late to get vaccinated. Flu season is just starting across our country. There are a number of states that are reporting higher than average activity for this time of year, but other states are still with lower activity, and so we want to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to get protected. Now, the vaccine takes about 1 to 2 weeks to really start to work, so it's time to get vaccinated is now before flu enters your community.
Okay. All right. So now the flu is what exactly is that? Is that an illness that results from a bacteria?
So Ron, flu is caused by a virus, and this infection is contagious, and it can be spread very easily from person to person, from coughing, from sneezing, from sharing all of the secretions that occur when people cough and sneeze and spread this virus. And it is not your average cold. This disease can be very, very serious with high fevers, muscle aches, sore throat, dry nose, cough, even vomiting and diarrhea in young children. And this is the type of illness that stops people in their tracks. They can't get out of bed. They can't go to work. They can't take their kids to school. They can't care for their elders if they're helping other people. And it can be very serious. Many people, thousands and thousands of people are hospitalized every year in the United States, and unfortunately, we even have deaths from this illness.
Oh, okay.
And this is prevented by vaccination.
All right. And these vaccinations are basically available all over the place. I even had one year in a supermarket. Can you believe that?
I absolutely can, and I think that's a really great thing because it's so important that everybody be vaccinated. The Centers for Disease Control recommends that everybody above the age of 6 months receive their flu vaccine every year. And so we want to make sure that we don't miss opportunities. So there are pharmacies, as you say, in supermarkets, all over the place. So you can get your vaccine in a pharmacy. Workplaces offer vaccination for their employees and, of course, your doctor's office. And so we don't want to miss an opportunity. So if you haven't had your vaccine and you see a place that's offering it, go up, get the information. And the other great thing is that flu vaccines, for those who have insurance, is covered by insurance, usually at no cost for the patient.
Okay. All right. Let's address what a lot of people say, and that's that may not necessarily be safe to have a flu vaccine. Sometimes we get sick from it. It's introducing the strain into our bodies. Who wants that? I'm allergic to eggs. I mean, there are a lot of excuses, but I think that by now they've all been covered, right?
Yes, you're right. They're all excuses. They're myths. And what we need to do is understand the facts. This is a really very serious, can be extremely dangerous infection. And vaccination is our best tool to prevent this. You cannot get the flu from the vaccine. People think they get sick after the vaccine, but as I mentioned, the vaccine takes 1 to 2 weeks to work, and if something happens in those first 1 or 2 weeks, it's from something else. It was something else that was brewing in their system.
Right.
And there are options for people who have allergies to vaccines. Speak to your doctor about that. The important thing is there's a flu vaccine for everybody. We have different types of vaccines now, even based on people's ages. And we also have vaccines that now cover 4 of the flu strains that offer an opportunity for perhaps even broader protection against the strains that are circulating. So speak to your doctor, speak to the pharmacist, find out the vaccine that's best for you, and go ahead and get vaccinated. It's the best thing you can do for yourself, for your family, and also the people around you.
Now, some people say that they're healthy, they don't need it. Now, Cerise, you've got a story that kind of contradicts that.
Yes, I do, Ron. Unfortunately, I lost my healthy 5-year-old son, Joseph, to the flu in 2009. So like Dr. Friedland was suggesting, you know, we want people to understand that the flu is a serious disease, and it does cause hospitalizations and deaths every year. And as Dr. Friedman pointed out, our best preventative measure, the best thing that we can do for ourselves and our families, is get vaccinated every year. Our organization, Families Fighting Flu, knows all too well how serious flu can be, and that's actually why the organization was formed, because we have either lost children or had children suffer serious medical complications. So it's really important to get vaccinated every year.
I'm glad you're discussing this, and I'm sorry for your loss, but I'm glad you're discussing this because there are a lot of parents who are very natural with their kids. They make sure that they have only organic whatever, and you know, all the latest stuff. You know, I don't want to put anything in my child's body of any kind of questionable thing whatsoever. But this does not come under that category, and I think that should be made clear.
Right. I mean, the flu vaccine, and Dr. Friedman can speak more to this, has been around for more than 50 years. It's been proven safe and effective. And again, it's the best preventative measure that we have to protect ourselves and our families.
Okay. All right. So you don't really even have to contact your doctor. Just make sure. Let me ask you a silly question, doctor. What if someone had a flu vaccine like back in the summer and then forgot they had it or something? Is it dangerous to get it like twice if it's spread out a little bit?
That's an interesting question. So let's clarify a bit on that. Flu vaccines are recommended every year for people above the age of 6 months, and we have a new vaccine, a new flu vaccine every year because the strains change.
Right.
We follow, scientists all over the world follow the strains, and so vaccines are done by the spring.
Right.
It would be very unusual for somebody to be vaccinated in the summer with last year's strain, but if they were vaccinated in the summer with this year's strain, it can start as early as August with vaccination, then that's their vaccine for the year. If they got a second dose by accident, it's okay. We don't recommend that. It's not required.
Of course not.
But it's, the vaccines first start to become available in late summer for before the flu season.
Okay.
And another thing just to mention is there are certain people who are even at higher risk for flu. So while everybody should get vaccinated every year, people who are at a special risk are the very young children, the very old people in our society, their grandparents in our society, ever-increasing population, and they're around young children. They could spread the flu to young children, and the young children spread it to them. Other high-risk groups are pregnant women and also people who have underlying medical conditions such as asthma, for example, and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease.
Yeah.
These people especially should get vaccinated every year.
Right. Understood, but if you're 100% healthy, that doesn't mean you shouldn't either. That means get it anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. The influenza virus doesn't care if you're 100% healthy. Yeah. If you're in its path and it gets into your body, you get the flu.
Right. And actually, if you don't go to the doctor, how do you know you're 100% healthy? You could have some underlying thing going on that you may not even know about. So, yeah, visit your doctor, tell your doctor what you're doing, and set up a relationship with your doctor at all times. Thank you to the both of you. To get more information, how do we do so?
One great place to start is at the website of the Centers for Disease Control at cdc.gov/flu, F-L-U.
Fine. Thank you.
And for information on Families Fighting Flu, you can go to www.familiesfightingflu.org.
And that's especially great because when you have a concern, it's good to know there are other people with same concerns. You don't feel alone. That goes with almost any condition. Thank you so much for your time today.
Exactly.
You take care now.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Thank you.
You too.
Bye. Okay. Hey, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's enough. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Until then, I wish you peace.